Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And a child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter. who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we take a close look at one of the apparitions, one of the visits by the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in doing so, we try to learn all that we can about these visits. These visits were totally unexpected, unplanned, unanticipated, and yet they happened over and over and over, all over the world, not just in France and Italy and all that, but all over, in Russia, China, Vietnam, India, down in Africa, all over, even Australia. I mean, it just has been an amazing journey with Mary to uncover all these details and to help you all experience these visits by bringing you the best researched information, the best that we can do in what we can learn about these different encounters. And they didn't just happen 100 or 200 years ago. They began in 40 AD and they're going up into the present day. Yes, right now, somewhere, someone is having a visit with Mary. And I know that sounds like wishful thinking or something, but I've heard of a couple ongoing present cases right now out there, just not verified, not fully documented yet, but there are things happening all the time. So, I mean, you know, when you look at there's almost 3,000 documented visits in just under 2,000 years, obviously there's a lot going on all the time. So we are trying to understand it all, and what we've learned has been amazing. We've seen incredible patterns of details. We've seen messages repeat. We've seen all sorts of details repeat. And that's pretty impressive when you consider it comes from different cultures, different religions even, different backgrounds, even sometimes anti-Catholics. And yet no matter what they're seeing or experiencing, it matches up from one decade to another century to another country on the other side of the world or wherever. And that's way beyond fantasy or imagination. That is incredible reality when it repeats like that with such precision. And that's what got me so interested in looking at all this. It just dawned on me, oh my gosh, this is really happening. And knowing that Mary's really coming here and Jesus is always with her now, today, that's exciting. And also that heaven is so tuned in to what's going on every single second on this planet. And that I also learned, although I didn't want to learn this, that the devil is very real too. I did not want to really believe that, but I soon realized that he is a very active, very bad influence on this world and determined to create as much havoc and turmoil and chaos as possible. So we've learned a lot with this show, and hopefully tonight you'll learn more as we go back to Zaytun, Egypt for the third week and wrap it up. We will definitely wrap it up tonight. That's going to be an interesting finish because not all of it appeared over the church, as you might have heard. There were things that did happen on the ground, and we'll hear about that in just a bit here. But first of all, I always like to welcome the team, the research team, which includes my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. How are you tonight, Mr. Donald?
Well, I'll tell you what, John. I just love your monologue, and I think it's very important that we understand that Our Lady is very much a part of God's plan of salvation. In fact, you go back to Genesis 3:15. God, this is God saying this. This is not some guy that's saying this. This is God saying this. He says, I will put enmity between you, that would be the devil, and the woman, and that would be Mary, and between your offspring, which would be the Antichrist or those who are Antichrist, and hers, which would be Jesus. And he, that is Jesus, well, you can say Jesus and Mary, will strike at your head. while you strike at their heel. But think about this. This is future. I will. I will. That's a very important thing. And when you look at that, I will, I love it when you go to Song of Songs, verses 6:10. Song of Songs, verse 6:10. Who is this that comes forth like the dawn, as beautiful as the moon, as splendid as the sun, and awe-inspiring as bannered troops? And so that's a good question. Who is this? Well, we all know who it is here on Deeper Truth. And that's kind of more or less like present tense in a sense. Who is this? Okay, well, I'll tell you something in the future tense. You go to Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 17, it shall come to pass that in the last times he was pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, the handmaids of the Lord shall prophesy, and he would perform wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And so people are kind of wondering, well, where is this about the Virgin Mary and miracles and all these things? Well, in the last times. So we have all the way from the very beginning, Genesis 3:15, and I just threw it, you know, Song of Songs 6:10, and now we're looking at Acts in the last times. And what we're talking about tonight, John, is right here, right now. This was, what, 68 to 71? I mean, that
yes.
Was, I mean, I was alive during this time, and I think everybody on this
yep.
switchboard was alive at this time. We also got John,
yep.
the Virginian. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Donald, when we come back to you in a minute, go back to that reference in Song of Songs and read the two verses preceding what you just read, and your mind is going to be blown even more. Read the two.
Okay.
So instead of starting from verse 6, start from verse 4.
Okay.
You know, John, while he's looking that up, John, what he said about Our Lady being central to our faith and so central to our faith was such an important message. And I knew, and it's usually the thing, one of the things, if not the thing, that we're attacked on the most as Catholics. So way, way, way back in 2009, when I first decided to put this apostolate together, the very first thing that I decided to do was splice two different versions of Let It Be together. One has the keyboard solo, one has the guitar solo, and overlay Revelation chapter 12 over the top of it so that we would start our show with that. Because when you start at Revelation 11:19 and you go all the way through to Revelation 17, just about everything the Catholic Church teaches about Mary is packed into those 18 verses. And you bring it to life. Your show brings it to life because what we're talking about every Sunday is literally this woman clothed with the sun who brought her son to us physically, and she is now bringing him to us in a different way, preparing for the second coming. So it's just so important. It's so central to our mission at Deeper Truth, and it's so central to our mission in our Catholic faith.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's why in Zaytun, Egypt, she's known as Our Lady of Light. So there
it is. Our Lady of Light.
Mm-hmm.
John, which two verses did you want me to go? Because, I mean, I'm there. I'm just looking at where, you know,
okay,
verse
you,
8.
You were reading verses. You were reading verses 6 to 10. Okay? What I'm
okay,
telling you,
well,
start
I read,
at
I read
verse
10.
4.
Okay.
Start at verse 4 and go 4 to 10.
You are as beautiful as Tirzah, my beloved, as lovely as Jerusalem, as awe-inspiring as bannered troops. And when I think of that one there, John A, or John C, I remember about the Philippines where Our Lady appeared
oh, yeah.
before all those troops. Well, anyway,
yep.
Turn your eyes from me, for they torment me. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Now, I don't think that's Mary, but anyway, streaming down from Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of ewes, which come up from the washing. All of them big with twins, none of them thin and barren. Your cheek is like a half pomegranate.
I'm gonna have to pull my Bible out, because you're reading something different than from what I saw. Because immediately preceding the citation of what you read, who is this that comes forth? There's a verse in there referring to her as the queen.
Well, it says right here in verse 8, there are 60 queens, 80 concubines, and maidens without number. One alone is my dove, my perfect one. See, that queen is the one we're talking about. And
That's the verse I was looking for. Isn't that amazing,
yeah.
John?
Well,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, because previously I do not believe that Our Lady's hair is like the flock of goats. I don't. I think that's talking about something else.
We don't have the historical cultural context to make sense of that remark. In what way in other words, that's one of those things, and I was really struck with what Father Calloway said in his consecration to St. Joseph. A lot of the things that Jesus said sound bizarre and sound strange. These little anecdotes that he says, or these little expressions that he has, and a lot of those he would have learned from St. Joseph when you really think about it. So a lot of these are little cultural expressions, little cultural comparisons that maybe don't make sense to us. I'll give you a perfect example. I'll give you a classic example. The parable of the wheat and the tares. Okay? And all about, didn't you sow fine seed? And, oh, an enemy has done this. Well, believe it or not, the particular type of weed that was called a tare, when it grew, it looked exactly like a stalk of wheat. You couldn't tell the difference. Okay? Except that it's poisonous. Okay? And the only way you could tell the difference between the wheat and the tares is in the seed. The seeds were very, very different. And they would make sure that when they sold the seeds, it was so-called good seed. It didn't have any of these bad seeds in them. But if an enemy didn't particularly like you, he would come by one day and he'd throw some of these tare seeds into your garden so that the tares would grow up with the wheat. Now, if you don't know that, you lose something in the context of the story. When it says your hair is like a flock of goats, that's something that doesn't make any sense to us. But I'm sure if we researched it and looked into it, that there's some kind of expression or idiom in the language that it would make sense if we looked into it. I'm guessing.
Perhaps it's a beautiful sight to see the flock of goats.
Maybe so. Maybe that's the way they intended that. But I like this
silky appearance.
Verse 8 and 9 is the ones that I was wanting to go to. There are 60 queens, 80 concubines, and maidens without number. One alone is my dove, my perfect one, her mother's chosen. So that perfect one fits perfectly with the Immaculate Conception.
Well, let me say one more thing, Donald. You quoted a verse in there about her teeth. And it's very interesting that you said that, because a certain author that I just finished reading, a prized author on Marian apparitions, an amazing an amazing scholar of Marian apparitions and genius radio host of the same, this book that I just read, actually described one of the apparitions when she smiled, and it described how perfectly white her teeth were. I don't remember the particular apparition, but I do remember that from this person's book.
That's verse 6. Your teeth are like a flock of ewes which come up from the washing, like they've been washing their teeth. Okay, we got Terry from Texas. How you doing there, Terry?
Hey, how's it going, brother? It's pretty good.
Terry, right. I got a question for you.
Yes, sir?
I got a question for you. And I'm sure that Mark, what's his last name? Our Tuesday show host.
Mark
Kaiser. Boy, my brain is just shut off tonight. It's just not working. I don't know what that is. But anyway, I know Mark Kaiser would get a kick out of this, but Terry, I got to ask you, how in the world did you guys lose to Arkansas? What in the heck happened there?
Arkansas,
we're
good.
I really don't watch sports no more, bro.
Oh, okay.
On Mary, though, I would like to say that, man, I wear a miraculous medal, and I've been wearing a miraculous medal, like, almost since I got baptized in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Virgin of Guadalupe inside the foyer right before you go into my bedroom, and it's almost 6 foot tall, about 3 foot wide. So every time I walk into my bedroom, I reach up and touch her hand and say, Mary, pray for us. I've got at least three statues.
Three statues
in my house. Complete devotion to Mary.
Did you know that St. Catherine Labouré is one of the incorruptibles?
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
St. Catherine Labouré of the Miraculous Medal. She's one of, I guess there's about 300 of them now, right, John? 300 incorruptibles
like
documented? Yeah, she's
mm-hmm.
one of them.
Oh, wow.
And so is St. Bernadette of Lourdes is also
yep,
one of them.
Both of them. They look beautiful, too. By the way, we got John from, Mike from New Jersey. How you doing there, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I stumbled on something.
What was that?
I have for you the best-kept secret of 9/11.
Oh, what is that?
Okay.
Well, John, you've mentioned many times that you wonder why you don't hear anything about the Marian apparitions that attracts 250,000 people to somewhere in the middle of a jungle by definition, that makes news. Why don't they talk about it? There is something
right
about 9/11 they don't talk about. I've listened to the coverage every anniversary, and every single one of them, they don't talk about this. I got a tip when I was in Shanksville some years ago working for a congressman, so I did a few stories on it. And this is what I'm going to play for you is a clip of those stories. There is a chapel, a memorial chapel, about 7 miles from the crash site in outside Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Here's a little more about it.
Marcia Stallings is a retired school teacher from Pittsburgh and a volunteer at the chapel, which is about 7 miles from the crash site. The chapel has quite a story to tell.
This is Flight 93 Memorial Chapel, a non-denominational chapel founded by Father Alphonse Mascherino. At the time of 9/11, Father Mascherino was a Catholic priest in Somerset. He would drive from Somerset to the site almost daily. He made buttons that said, God bless Flight 93 and God bless America. He got to know surviving family members and friends of the 40 heroes who lost their lives. And as he talked with them, he thought that they projected to him that they were getting through the tragedy through their faith, their belief, and God. He knew that a national memorial could not include any of that. So he felt that it was important that a memorial have something to do with faith and belief.
That bell you just heard is the bell that is attached to the chapel, and it rings 40 times, one for each of the victims of Flight 93. One other little tidbit that you might find interesting is the first officer of Flight 93, when he was 11 years old, he made a model airplane. The model airplane had the airline designation United.
Wow. Well, I got a couple of little 9/11 anecdotes since we brought this up real quick for the 20th anniversary.
Please make it quick because we still got our show to do.
Okay. I understand. I'll make it quick. But a couple of years ago, Notre Dame won the national championship in women's basketball. And Muffet McGraw was the coach, and Marina Mabry was one of the players. Each of those two have a 9/11 close call story. Marina Mabry's mother was in the World Trade Center that day, and when she heard the word, she was in kindergarten, I think it was, when, you know, they heard the words of the planes crashing in the World Trade Center, you know, the whole family was panicked. She thought she'd lost her mother. Well, it turns out Marina Mabry's birthday is September 14th, and her mother left the building to go shopping for a birthday present for her. And while she was out shopping for the birthday present, the first plane hit the first tower. Well, the story with Muffet McGraw is that she was going to go on a flight, and she changed her flight at the last minute, and the plane that she was booked to fly on was United's 175, which, of course, you know, crashed into the South Tower of the World Trade Center, and she switched off of that flight onto another plane. So both of those two had a close 9/11 call.
Wow.
And here's a little tidbit.
I'll give you another very quick close call. Okay.
Come
the,
on now.
Where the plane crashed, if the plane had been aloft for another 5 to 10 seconds, it would have slammed into the hometown of my girlfriend in college.
Hmm.
Well, that's news.
Wow.
She lives five. She lives 5 miles from the impact site.
All right. And one last note, a 9/11 note. That day, I had an airline ticket to fly, but luckily it was not going to be on any of those flights. But I was supposed to be in the air that afternoon, and of course by that time all the flights were grounded, and I wish I had saved my airline ticket. That would have been quite a thing to have an airline ticket that said 9/11 on it, but anyway, I'm glad I did not fly that day. All right.
So are we.
Yes. Well, there were other things that were supposed to happen in my life, obviously. This is the first show that we have done since we have lost one of our team members, and although many Deeper Truth people might know by now, many that listen to this show may not know that we lost our beloved Judy from Texas, who in her 70s was giving us God's poetry, and it's a very sad loss for our team, a very big part of our show for the last few years. And since this, she actually died right after our last show, which she was not on. She wasn't feeling good. And then she passed away that evening. So we are very sad to lose her. So if you wondered why she hadn't signed on and you hadn't heard any poems, that is why. But I'd like to do a very short tribute because I had already gotten her permission several years ago to talk about her and to publish 4 of her poems in my second book, He is Alive, Science Finds Jesus. in the chapter Messages and Visits from Jesus. In fact, she follows St. Faustina and some other greats because in a similar way, she was getting dictation from Jesus. And here's what I wrote about her. A humble, sincere, no-nonsense lady named Judy Alciator from the heart of Texas was stunned when she started receiving dictation from Jesus at age 65 in 2009. This divine poetry flows with a rhyme and a rhythm that would take some gifted poet days or even weeks to perfect while retaining the deeper meaning and message. Yet her divine poetry is given to her within 5 minutes, basically as fast as she can write it all down. Many times she will receive words that she does not recognize or know the meaning of, or even how to spell them. When she looked up the words that she didn't know, she is amazed at how well they fit into the meaning of the poem. The poetry is initiated at any time of the day or night, while sleeping, driving her car, doing the dishes, taking a shower, or in the middle of some activity. Quote, she says, I have to stop what I'm doing, run, grab some paper, and write it down as fast as I can. I do not edit or work it over because this is not my poem. She can feel like a secretary to Jesus. She shares her thousands of divine poems on a website entitled God's Poetry. She is a frequent guest on my international program, Journey with Mary, Deeper Truth Blog Talk Radio, where she will recite poems that were recently given to her. When I tease her about writing a poem of her own, out of her own thoughts, she about chokes with laughter, saying, quote, I can't put two words together of my own, unquote. And then I had four poems published, and I want to read my favorite that I actually had not had in the book, but she came up with it while I was in publication, so I got my publisher to squeeze it in. And this is the poem that has been one of my favorites. It's entitled, A Hero Came to Be. From far away and long ago, a hero came to be. Such feats of daring he performed for all the world to see. The blind he made to see again. The lame he made to walk. The deaf he cured, and they exclaimed, we can hear the people talk. He brought a promise of a land no one had ever known, where all are happy every day, and no one is alone. And how, the people asked him, can this kingdom we ever see? His answer was so simple. Just believe. Believe in me. Follow in my footsteps. Eat and drink of me. Repent and be courageous. In my kingdom, you will see. But there were those who doubted and sadly walked away. But Jesus did not follow them, nor deny what he must say. He asked then his apostles, will you join those filled with strife? And Peter said, Lord, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life. Receive the Holy Spirit, and with the gifts you have been given, forgive the sins or retain them, and the same shall be done in heaven. From far away and long ago, a hero came to be, the Lord of all, the King of Kings, who redeemed both you and me. And if we carry out our own cross, as Jesus said we must, we'll follow in his footsteps with faith and love and trust. Now, can you believe a person can receive that and write it down in 5 minutes? That is such a masterpiece.
It's overpowering.
Absolutely
overpowering. And I'll just interject one more thing, because if people don't believe that God inspires people to write things today and gives them insights and inspires them to write things, then explain to me how 20-year-old Deora Bodley was able to write in her journal that she would die on a plane in a field. That's documented. And she did indeed die on a plane in a field, United 93. And it's documented that she wrote that. So you can't take divine inspiration out of the equation. It's there.
That's right. Okay. So I wanted to just let you know how I actually commemorated Judy's work and her life a couple of years before she died last week. And when I read that one poem, it just stands out. It's just so incredibly full of meaning. It's so beautifully written, and it just covers so much in a short time. And I had to have that appear in my book. And so I'm forever grateful to her and her connection with the Lord. So, and I know she's dancing and singing in heaven, because there's no way she wouldn't be. All right, folks, we're going back to Zaytun, Egypt, where Mary appeared, and this is our third week. So if you missed the other 2 weeks, go back in the archives, you can hear both shows. We're going to pick up where we left off, because Mary's been appearing over this church to as many as 250,000 every night. And this has been going on for now almost 4 years, from 1968 to 1971. Zaytun is a little suburb of Egypt along the road where the Holy Family came when they fled to Egypt. So we'll pick up where we left off. Authorities wanted to rule out any pranks, hoaxes, or clever light shows. But remember, folks, this is 1968. We didn't have any clever light shows. Police searched an area up to 15 miles out from the church extensively for any kind of device that might create such an effect. At one point, they initiated a power blackout in the area so that nothing electrical could possibly be utilized to create these images. But the radiant Virgin Mary, her flying luminous doves, and the eerie heavenly lights continued to materialize just as brilliantly as ever during the power outage, much to the delight of thousands in the dark. Laser light shows were not in existence yet, certainly could not have produced moving three-dimensional images. Holography was in its infancy and could only produce a 1-foot by 1-foot stationary two-tone image at a distance of half a mile at the cost of $500,000. Not likely. Mary was life-size and even bigger, moving from one side of the church to the other and in many different colors, reddish, yellowish, golden, blue, and white. Even careful scrutiny and computer enhancement of the photos taken indicate absolutely no trick photography whatsoever. This was before digital cameras, before digital manipulations, before Photoshop. In fact, color print film had only been out about 4 years at that point. Therefore, the visits of the Virgin Mary were authenticated by the church on May 5th, 1968, just 1 month after she began appearing. Now, this was easy because the whole committee to decide it saw her. So it's not hard to talk about whether or not she appeared if the whole committee saw her. So that made it real easy. And 1 month is one of the quickest turnarounds ever, because it's usually an average of about 53 years to render a verdict. But 1 month was one of the fastest because the committee saw her. And vast approval was due to her dramatic and frequent appearances. The official statement by the Coptic Pope, Anba Kyrillos VI, states, quote, "The appearances have been witnessed by many thousands of citizens and foreigners belonging to different religions and sects," that's S-E-C-T-S, "together with groups of religious organizations and scientific and professional personages and all other categories of people who have proclaimed and announced their witnessing, confirming the certainty of the Virgin's appearances, all giving the same particulars as to description and form and time and place, thus proving a whole agreement in witnessing that has elevated the matter of appearance above any doubt or any lack of proof or evidence. the papal residence has collected the evidence that have been looked after by authorized personalities and committees of clergymen who have been pursuing and investigating and who even had the chance to observe the blessed apparition for themselves and recording their research and witness in official reports which they submitted. The papal residence, by issuing the statement, declares with complete faith, great rejoicing, and with gratitude, submitted through self-humiliation to Almighty God, that the Blessed Virgin Mary has appeared numerous times in clear and steady forms during many different nights for varying periods that reached in some to them to more than 2 hours continually to now in the Coptic Orthodox Church in Zeytun, Cairo, that is in Matarida Road, through which the Holy Family had passed during their settlement in Egypt, as is well known historically, unquote. That's quite a statement. What do you guys think, by the leader of the Coptic?
Well, I think that Our Lady is a source of unity, and I think that's one of the things that she's about trying to do to bring unity to all of us. And so the Coptics are in unity with the church. They're just a different rite, the Coptic rite. We're Latin rite, but they're not different denominations like Baptists versus Pentecostals and Pentecostals versus Lutherans and
right.
So on and so forth. But when you're of different rites, that does not mean that they're different denominations, and they're not. So they're not
right.
In schism. That's the big thing. Now, the Greek Orthodox is in schism, so that's why it's important to make the distinction.
Okay. So now there were several other encounters with Mary during these times worthy of reporting, and they weren't floating over the church. Several high-ranking officials obtained a private story while visiting the home of one of the district's leading Muslims. He admitted that he had been antagonistic toward visitors in the beginning because his house was near the church, and he would throw stones at them as they had to pass close by his house. He tried to call the police and have them arrested. Then he said that Our Lady appeared to him and asked him why he behaved in this manner. Oh, boy, don't make her mad. She
don't make her bring out that stick.
Yeah. She begged him.
Septum.
Yeah, she begged him not to continue in this fashion and commanded him to paint the sign of the cross on his house. Although remaining a practicing Muslim, he is now convinced of the authenticity of the visions, and painted 40 huge white crosses on his house. Mary's done it again. All right, here's another one. A priest confirmed the validity of the following encounter with two doctors. These two Muslim doctors were traveling from Alexandria through the desert area of the Wadi al-Natrum Valley into Cairo. There are monasteries located along this road. While driving along, they encountered a young lady walking along the road in the hot desert sun. They felt obliged to offer her a ride. As they drew near, they saw she was dressed as a nun. With the monasteries in the area, they didn't think of this as unusual. She accepted their generous offer, and as they were riding along, she questioned them about Zeytun. Did they know that the Virgin Mary was appearing there? Had they been to Zeytun yet? They said, no, we are busy men and Muslim. We would not go there. As they came to the pyramid area, she asked to be let out, but not before convincing the doctors that they should visit Zeytun. Questioning her, they learned that she was traveling to Zeytun. They realized that they couldn't leave her out in this area as it was a great distance to Zeytun, so they offered to take her there. When they arrived at Zeytun, they turned to open the door to let her out. There was no one there. People standing around the car by them then saw a dove fly out of the car's back seat. The doctors became crazy, searching under the car, all around it, for the young lady. All the people started laughing at them and told them there was no lady there. Didn't they see the dove flying out of the car? Mary got them to Zaytoun, didn't she? That was her.
That's great.
All right.
You know,
go ahead.
This is striking to me because all of the Marian apparitions that I'm familiar with, she appeared to people, men and women, who were, you know, devout Catholics. I mean, that were living, you know, from all accounts, you know, holy lives. And this is kind of mind-blowing because, I mean, she appeared to people who weren't even Christian. This is pretty awesome.
Well, Terry, you're in for a real treat because you'll find quite a few of the apparitions. She appeared to people of different religions, unholy people, people who have never even been to church, and even anti-Catholic, Mary-hating people. So you'll enjoy that as we take our journey.
Wow.
All right. Here's one last story. Another amazing story where Mary incognito made an appearance. On Friday, April 14th, 1972, 40 people were traveling on a bus from Alexandria to the Coventry of St. Bishwa to baptize a baby named Mary. Written testimonies from three of the passengers, Mrs. Flora Abdel-Malek, Father Bakhto Zaki, and Mr. Aziz Sodala. These were the doctor's wife, a pastor, and a member of the church committee. They were sent to the national newspaper. The mother of the baby, Kathy Capel Khalil, an architect, had died 5 months earlier and could not see her dream of this baptism become a reality. Grandfather Khalil took his daughter's baby for this baptism to fulfill the mother's dream. At a distance of 10 miles away from the Coventry, the bus broke down, and they had to find another form of transportation. The driver of a big truck agreed to give everybody a ride. After a while, they saw a nun in her uniform walking along the road carrying her Bible. They were surprised to see her alone in such a deserted area where there were no other people or transports. Father Bakhtor asked the truck driver to stop and invited the nun to join them. She came and raised her hand, saying, "Peace." Father Bakhtor seated her next to the grandmother of the child and offered her water to drink, but she did not. Then he gave her an orange. She peeled it, but did not eat it. She gave it to the child, who ate it all. When they arrived at the Coventry and got out of the truck, she stood in front of the whole group, raised her hand, said, "Peace." Then a bright light appeared, and suddenly she vanished right before all of their eyes. Then they knew who she had been. Oh, I love it. I love it. Amazing story.
Yeah, I do. She did something similar to that in the Philippines when she appeared before those soldiers. They thought she was a nun there, too.
Yep.
That's true.
Yep.
That's it.
That bright light appeared. Of course, we know would be Jesus. He's always the light that is with her. So the bright light appeared, and then she suddenly vanished into the light right before all of their eyes. And all she ever said the whole time was, "Peace." That's the only thing she said when she greeted them and when she departed. Peace. All right. By early 1970, the frequency of the apparitions had diminished to an average of one per month. Hey, I'd take that. Only one per month.
Yeah.
The last glorious and final public sighting was on May 29th, 1971. Crowds had thinned out over those years, but it's estimated that 3 out of every 4 Egyptians had seen her by now. Many had numerous sightings. It's estimated that 40 million people encountered her heavenly presence, including President Nasser of Egypt. It is theorized that she never spoke or relayed any verbal messages due to the diversity of the crowds and the varying beliefs. In this case, her image alone was truly worth 1,000 words. Conversions and miracles continue to this day, and she would return to other parts of Egypt several more times, 30 years. And there's our story of Zaytun, Egypt.
Wow.
And yeah, I love that one, especially since we have photos and I got to analyze the photos and, oh my gosh, I was just so impressed with everything about this one, especially when you have pictures of the glowing doves in the air forming a cross in one of the pictures. You might have seen that in the book, John. If not, it's in one of the books, if not that one. But, you know, you can't get birds to glow in the dark. I ask anyone out there to find a bird that glows in the dark, and then how you teach them to fly in the formation of a cross in the night sky, all glowing at once. Right. This is definitely supernatural.
Not like so
that's a character.
Can I ask y'all?
Go ahead there, Terry.
I need to ask y'all a question.
Sure.
So I was born in 1973, okay? And I converted to the Catholic faith in 2001. Okay, this is my question. So would it be wrong for me to, while I'm doing my rosary or when I'm saying the Angelus, to ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to appear to me?
No. In fact, she usually appears during a rosary or during prayers. Hey, if she wants to show up, she will. I mean, you can
that
ask all
wonderful.
You want, but if she wants to, she will. And doesn't hurt to ask.
I was leading a Bible study there at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and she appeared there. And I didn't see her, but I sure smelled her. I had that the flower scent, and there was no flowers there, and nobody else there had any kind of perfume at all. In fact, I went around.
You know, that's happened to me. That's happened to me twice.
I hugged it. Huh?
Twice to me too.
That's happened to me twice, and I didn't really, honestly, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really even think about it until I heard you guys mention it on this show. It had already happened to me twice where I went to church, and one time I was just praying there in the chapel, you know, basically by myself, and I started smelling roses and incense and everything, and looked around.
So what did
and there,
you think?
There was none. So I just kind of just brushed it off, thought it, well, it must have been something residual or something like that, or my mind playing tricks on me or whatever. It was only when you guys mentioned on the show that I was like, hey, wait a minute, that happened to me. Hey, I got something else for you here that you're going to like. I got a real treat for you here.
Let me add this. Right. The saints smelled it so often, they called it the odor of sanctity. So it's got an official name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead now.
Hey, Donald?
Yeah.
You got your Bible handy?
Yeah, I had it there. Then we got into First Samuel chapter 19. I'm right there.
Verse 13, read it.
13? Then Michael led David down a window, and he made his escape in safety. Michael took the household idol and laid it in the bed, putting a net of goat's hair at its head and covered it with a spread. When Saul sent messengers to arrest David, she said, he is sick. Saul, however...
You can stop right there. That's the point I was trying to make. What I just read here is that goat hair in Israel was known for its length, its slickness, and it's beautiful color. In fact, there's nothing that you could say that would be more complimentary to a woman's hair in Israel than it was the color of goats. In fact, to this day in Israel, the wigs are made out of goat hair. And the color
goats would really be a compliment.
Right. Well, the color is this beautiful golden color, and some of the most beautiful women who have ever lived had this color hair, and one in particular was Helena of Troy, who had the face that could launch 1,000 ships, right? Isn't that
right?
So
well done.
Wow.
Hey, we all learned something tonight.
Hey, brother, today at Mass, you know, like I do almost at every Mass, I was praying, you know, that a physical Eucharistic miracle would take place, and I was praying that, you know, if that doesn't happen, that the people would at least see the spiritual miracle that's happening before our eyes, right? And and so the reason I bring this up is because I just asked y'all, would it be, you know, is it okay to ask for Mary to appear to us? And while y'all were talking, the scripture came to mind where Jesus said about the lady that needed a loaf of bread, and she was knocking at the guy's door, and the guy was like, "Hey man, I'm asleep, go away," you know. But she just kept knocking and knocking and knocking, you know. And finally, because of her persistence, you know, the guy came down and gave her what she needed, you know, just to get her to leave, right? And because today I was wondering if my prayer was, you know, if it was right for me to pray for this, you know.
It's like asking to see your mother. May I see my mother?
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
All of us need to start praying for a miracle in this day and age, because this is what we need. We need the Blessed Virgin Mary to appear to Nancy Pelosi, to appear to Joe Biden, you know, appear to this nation, you know, and lead us back to her son. I was kind of questioning, am I wrong for asking for this miracle?
But this is what
we need.
No, but I'll give you a tip. I'll give you a tip from all my research. If you want her to appear, say a rosary and somehow work in that you want her to appear nearby where she wants a church built. And that is one of the things that she always promotes, is she appears where she wants a church built. So if you say, you know, please show us where you'd like another Catholic church built, appear near me where that needs to be, or show me where that needs to be, and then your mission
would this be okay? Because look, we're building the city of Magnolia is growing. This used to be a really rural area, very country, and it's growing like crazy, and so our Catholic church is growing like crazy. And so our Father Chris, he's building a new church, right? And it's huge, and it's in the back of our property. And so I wonder, maybe I should ask her to appear before that church is open. And I'm thinking that the church is going to be open, I think, in like around December, around the time of the Feast of Her Immaculate Conception.
Well, and you might ask her what she wants it to be called. Then she might show up to give you an answer. Where you guys doing that?
We got a caller just popped up. Area code 501. Do you have a question for Deeper Truth or have a comment?
Arkansas.
No, sir. Just listening in.
Oh,
outstanding, my friend. Hey, by the way, you guys got honorable mention.
How you doing, brother? That sounds like
this.
How you doing?
I'm doing well,
God bless you, brother.
But he said he was from Arkansas, so since they got honorable mentioning earlier tonight, that congratulations on y'all's victory over Texas, Arkansas Hogs. I used to live in Arkansas, so I know about that. So outstanding.
All right.
Well, then, outstanding. So good to have you. Thanks for calling in. We're at that time too, by the way.
John, if I can give you one more little tidbit before I started Deeper Truth, I was involved with a political radio show, and we interviewed lots of people on there. But my favorite, most memorable interview on that show was I interviewed Tom Burnett Sr. on that show. Does that name sound familiar?
Yeah.
His son led the revolt on Flight 93, and of course he was a devout Catholic.
That's right.
And he is the one that spearheaded the revolt to take back that plane. So it just kind of goes
That's
into
awesome.
The message of everything that we're saying is you don't know when you're going to be called on to make that stand for your faith.
Right. Okay. Well, next week, pack your bags. We're going to Japan. And there we will hear the story of Akita, Japan. And that's
Terry was asking
a couple
about
weeks.
That.
Yeah, Akita, Japan. So, all right. And
hey,
as always.
Hey, can I ask y'all, before we close out, man, is it possible that we could say a Hail Mary for Governor Greg Abbott? He's a Catholic brother, and he's doing everything in his power to fight the demonic forces that are trying. You know, he's pushed forth the heartbeat bill, and he's doing everything in his power to represent. And it would be awesome if we could say a Hail Mary for him.
Well, you're in luck. That's exactly what we're about to do. So we'll
Amen.
Make sure this is dedicated for that you requested. And as we ask the whole world to join in, because we know there's at least 200 countries that listen to this show, and then we know you're out there because every time we check, you're tuned in. So join with us now in saying a Hail Mary. And in doing so, all our voices will be in unison, rising up to heaven from all around the world all at once. And what a voice that will be for heaven to hear. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. I hope this show was helpful, was enlightening, was educational, inspirational, and sure not like any other hour of your week. So there. And join us next week as we go to Akita, Japan. And that's a very interesting story, full of all sorts of goodies.
Oh.
So
that sounds great.
Look forward to that. Yep.
Well, we're going to, we got a song here by a member of Deeper Truth. So this is a Deeper Truth member here that's singing this song. And I will tell you, John B. and John C., that it is not me. Good night, everybody.
Thank God.
A certain man had two sons. The youngest said to him, Father, give me the portion of inheritance that falleth unto me. And he divided unto them his living. The youngest son gathered all of his possessions and went to a far country, and there wasted all of his money on wild parties. After spending everything, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Starving, He was able to only to get a job feeding swine. He was so hungry, he'd gladly have eaten that fly. But no one gave him.
I ran away from home, traveled alone down a dark road. My soul tried it on my own. Home to sin, never thought I'd see you again. This evil within just would not relent. Then the aggression, stress and wandering. Knew you were the best when in the desert wandering. Pondering why spiritual suicide. Took a look inside, realized I died. No surprise, see the pride stop me from coming back to you. Even though I knew in your mercy you renew my life. Thought twice on moments. Hesitation on wisdom got me living in fear. Ritual salvation in my hunger. I fell under the wicked one's spell. Got on a ship that sailed on a one-way trip to hell. Man, overboard I fell to my knees when I remember the glory of your presence. Lord, allow me to re-enter.
When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have more than enough food? And yet I'm here about to die of starvation. I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I sin against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please, just make me as one of your hired servants. And so he went to his father.
On my knees, begging, please, a million apologies. Listens chronologically, no excuse for the life I lead. Oh, hey, cause he said became sin for a sinner. Gave his right for a loser, so I could be a winner. When I call on his name, but it's not the same. Save myself, so I'm to blame for jumping back in the game. Was I insane? The devil has the last say. Not that easy, I chose a way. Now I'm broken, I betrayed my Lord, my Savior, Son of God, Jesus Christ. Even though I left you, please come back into my life. Cry tears of shame, get back up, cause I'm not giving up. No way, just fight, gotta be fought. Not worthy to be your son, just allow me to serve you. Make me the lowest one, cause I know I don't deserve you. Your place up in your kingdom for the torn and tattered soul. Left walking like a giant, now I'm crawling back home.
But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him in the distance, and he had great compassion on him, and he ran to him, hugging him with joy. The son said to him, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, he said, put the best clothes on him, the family ring upon his hand, and shoes upon his feet. Let us make a great feast and rejoice. For this my son, he was dead, and now he is alive. He was lost, but now he is found.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.